Shalom Aleichem, everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Emor and looking forward to the Chag HaShavuos, to the preparation for Matan Torah, which of course begins with Lag BaOmer, the beginning of the third of the Sfira, the time this coming week where we begin the Amud HaTorah, preparing for Matan Torah. Let us talk a little about the many mitzvahs in Parshas Emor. One of these surim in the parsha is the yisur of a kayin to marry a zayna. Isha grusha zayna v'chalala lo yikach. A woman is not allowed to marry a woman who is a zayna. A kayin, rather, is not allowed to marry a woman who is a zayna. Now, what is the definition of zayna? Elsewhere in the Torah, zayna refers to a woman who is mufkeres lesnus, who is openly mezanin. That is not the pshat here. Chazal darshin, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezra Simen Vav Sivches, that the Torah forbids a zayna, which means a woman who previously had relations with somebody whom she's not allowed to marry, which means to say that a woman who had relations, extramarital relations, Miznus, with a Jewish man, does not become a Zayna. She may subsequently marry a Kayan. However, she had relations with a non-Jewish man, someone she's not allowed to marry, or with someone she's not allowed to marry because of one of the Arayas. Such a woman is not allowed subsequently to marry a Kayan. This is a very difficult issue in dealing with Balei Tshuva. As a matter of fact, it becomes an issue in two ways. One is a Bacher, who's a Baal Tshuva, who's a Kayin. He's very limited. In today's permissive society, many of the women who become Balei Tshuva as adults have already done things that make them ineligible to marry a Kayin. More tragically, there are times that couples, families become Balei Tshuva, and the husband is a Kayin, and they realize that he's not allowed to be married to this woman, because this woman was a university, and in a permissive university where anything goes, things happen that forbid her to a Kayin. And this is a tragedy. It's a tremendous, tremendous difficulty. Is there any Eitza for such a case? It's interesting, in the Igris Moshen, Eben Ezer, Chelik Dalet, Simen Yod Aleph, he has a psak, and it is said that Rav Noach Weinberg had come to Rav Moshe with this issue. And the Maseiros Moshe, it's brought down, this psak is brought down as something that Rav Moshe had told Rav Noach Weinberg. He said that a man who's a Baal Tshuva, whose father tells him he's a Kayin, but the father himself is not a Frum Yid. And the father only knows him, his father, and perhaps his father was not a Frum Yid. In Halacha, there's no nemonis. A person is not believed if he's not a Frum person. What would prevent him from lying just to embellish his family standing in the Jewish world and saying he's a Kayin? And therefore, Rav Moshe Paskin, that there is no nemonis that the man is a Kayin. And Rav Moshe writes, if the father says you're a Kayin, you have to look into it. But if it's already three generations since there was a firm person, Rav Moshe says you don't even have to look into it. You don't have to look into the issue. And there's no nemonis at all that a person is a Kayin. It's a little ironic because at first glance, the Balei Tshuva, whose parents say they're Kayanim, want to be Kayanim. It's a very big covet and honor to be a Kayan. The other hand, as Halacha plays itself out, it's actually overall better that there is no nemonis that a person is a Kayan. Now, Ramesha says if a few generations passed, you don't even have to look into it. I'm not certain what his reason is. Usually, if you have a question, whatever you could examine, you have to. It may be that the reason is the following. It's really a sex fake, a double suffix. Is he from the family of Aharon HaKohen? is he a descendant of Aaron, which would make him a Kohen? That's one suffix. Then there's a second suffix. If there are a number of generations have passed already in which people were not observant, it's possible that in one of those generations, the Kohen had married a woman who is a Zayna, or a Cholol, who had made their children subsequently lose the status of Kohuna. So it's a Sexveka. Were they Kohenim originally? And even if they were, maybe they lost this status of Kohuna in generations that were not observant. If it's a Sexveka, the Pesachei Tshuva brings in Simin Kof Yod in Yerodeya, that by a Sexveka, where you can only be Mevarer, even if you investigate, you can only ascertain one of the two Sveikas. You might find out that his great-grandparents were Kayanim, but you can't figure out the second, which is sort of a private type of bit of information. There's no obligation to do any searching. And so this is the Kula that Rav Moshe had made. We see in our experience of Balei Tshuva that this does happen. Very often families that say the Kohanim or even Leviim, later after examination, it is determined they're not Leviim at all. As a matter of fact, I have a good friend who I knew from our Sameach. His name is Levine, and supposedly they're Leviim. He got married, and he had a Bechor, a son, and someone in our Sameach said, you can't trust, you have to look into things. Don't just trust that you're a Levi, even with the name Levi, even with the name Levi. And he looked into it, and it turns out that his father's father, or perhaps his father's father's father, somewhere along the line, had a different last name, and they're not Levi'im at all. And therefore, I was at the Pidyon HaBen, and it was a double Pidyon HaBen. He did a Pidyon HaBen for his Bechor son, and he did a Pidyon HaBen for himself, having figured out he's not a Levi. The claim was Rabbi Orlovsky, and in his speech, he had a lot of fun with the idea that it's a double Pidyon HaBen, the irony of it. Let's move on to a second topic in the parasha. There are mitzvahs in the parasha that are hidden. What do I mean? The parasha has the after Shlishi, the restriction, you can't bring a carbon if that carbon has a mum, certain physical injuries or blemishes, make it ineligible to be a carbon. Fine, what's that got to do with the 21st century? A lot. The Pasuk of Dalit, where it says, Umoch v'chosus v'nosuf v'chorus lo sakrivu l'Hashem, this refers to a mum, or an injury to the male organs, to the Evore Hazachar, that woman, you're not allowed to bring it. Loisakribu l'Hashem. Uba'artzachem loisasu. This is a lav. Uba'artzachem loisasu, as Rashi explains from the Gemara, is a lav that a man is not allowed to neuter an animal. A person is not allowed to sterilize an animal. There's a lav. Even if a person buys a pet, even in New York City, where the law requires that certain pets be neutered, it's aser. It's the aser amir alakum, even to do it through a guy, this is an Eben Ezer, and hey, very often a person purchases an animal which had already previously been neutered. But to go and do it, that a person is not allowed to do. Imagine, we live in a society where the pita nuts are busy starting up with shechita. And it's a society where it's routine. We do these things to animals. The Torah forbids it. But these things happen and no one says anything. Every pet, that's what they do. Incredible. There's another issue, also not so well known, also not so clear in the Torah. And that is that a human being is not to do things to injure his own avarim. And this is also learned from the Pasuk. It says, after the aforementioned Pasuk, it says, Ki moshchosom bohem mum bom. We dash from the extra expression, moshchosom bohem, that there's an iser to cause damage to the evare hazera of a human being. That's also aser. And not only that, but the Torah's kodim darshins from the pasuk that even for a female, even for an akeva, there's an Isser. So that the Torah forbids doing damage to the Evarim, to the organs of a man or a woman, besides the Aveira of doing it to an animal. This is Nogea. Unfortunately, people are not aware of the Halacha. There are women who, when they get older, have a hysterectomy, which involves removing the womb. And they do it, well, sometimes it's done, for urgent medical reasons, and it's called for. Women have a prolapse, or people with BRCA genes, they have a reason, a good reason, to remove the uterus. However, sometimes it's done for convenience, because of bleeding or the like. And it's strange that people are unaware that there is an Issa D'Oraisa, there's an Issa, some hold that by an Isha, it's a Rambam Shita, it's a Siddur Rabbanan, but there's an Issa Gomor to affect the Evorim of reproduction of a man or a woman. I'd like to make a point here. This mitzvah is so hidden, you could read the Chumash 100 times and not notice it without Chazal digging out for you where exactly the drasha comes from. This is an important idea. Rishonim say that the reason Lashon HaKodesh is called the Holy Tongue is because it doesn't have names for the private parts of a person. Certain parts of a human being that are private, that we cover, and it's not sneeristic to talk about openly and publicly, even privately. The Torah hints at that by telling us that there's no special name for it. You should allude to it when you talk to people. Halei Davarho. Even the mitzvah in the Torah that has to do with these parts of the human being is hidden in the Torah. It's not spelled out clearly. It's spelled out. We have Chazal dashing it, and that's out. It's a lesson. It's a lesson in the Nekiyas HaDibur. The Nekiyas HaDibur is not only not to curse and not to say harmful things. The Nekiyas HaDibur is to keep your mouth clean. Things that are private are supposed to be private, and they're not supposed to be spoken about openly. They're supposed to be spoken about only privately. And we live in such a society of perversion that saying, talking, people feel it's not a big deal. I'm just saying words, and I'm saying it in a context which is respectful. Even in a respectful context, these are things which are supposed to be done in a quiet, private, sneas edel type of way. And that is the lesson of the fact that this Issa D'Oraisa, the Issa D'Oraisa of affecting the mumim of a man and of a woman, these are hidden. And that's the way it should be. Private things are hidden. Nekiyas HaDibur. A mouth has to be holy so that we could use it for the right things. And with that, I would like to wish one and all an absolutely wonderful, extraordinary Shabbos. 4 weeks. We're now 4 weeks towards Matan Torah. Amazing. Could it be that just 3 weeks before Matan Torah there'll be some people who don't show up at Mishmar? It can't be before Matan Torah. We better put out extra chairs tonight because everybody is getting ready for Matan Torah. How could it be a person doesn't prepare? Looking forward to greeting one and all. Absolutely wonderful Shabbos. And please have it as a period of Agdama. If for Pesach we prepare so much, we certainly should be preparing for the Chag Zman Matan Torah Seinu, certainly. Be well.